We've talked a lot about diversity in media on this show. How do we accurately represent mental illness and disability in our TV shows and movies? And while data can help us measure changes in the media landscape, is it actually making an impact on the viewer at home? We're going to dive into that conversation again with the help of Stacy DeArmas, the Senior Vice President of Diverse Consumer Insights for Nielsen. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, we wanted to bring you on because Nielsen has released a new report. It's called Being Seen on Screen, Diverse Representation and Inclusion on TV. And this is the first time that Nielsen has really dove into this topic before. First off, before we get into the report, representation. For people that may not understand that concept, what does that actually mean?
Sure. And I'm so glad we're starting with that because, you know, representation looks different for different community groups, right? And visibility is just one layer of representation. What we really need to take a look at is quality and authenticity. Those married with visibility are what give you good representation, right? Presence isn't the same as quality.
So when you say presence, that could mean maybe a character being written into a show that's kind of a caricature of someone who's in the LGBTQ community versus an actual actor who's gay playing that role with sort of the experience and knowledge of their own experiences.
Absolutely. And you really touched on the heart of this work that we did. What we wanted to do was not take a look at character portrayals. There are a lot of organizations that are doing that and doing that very well. What we wanted to understand was from a talent perspective, who was being cast and how that visibility layered into the importance of representation. So who is being cast on screen, who we are seeing, which really, Ryan, gives us the permission, for many members of society, including underprivileged and children and just in general, who we can become, who we can dream to be, right? Who we see on TV is very important, but the context in which we see those people is equally important.
I think we've got a good foundation to dive into this report. Again, it's called Being Seen on Screen, Diverse Representation and Inclusion on TV. Stacy, what goes into this report and what did you end up finding?
One of the really fascinating things that, you know, of course, as America has been on this diversification journey for quite some time, but certainly the events earlier last year allowed us to take another hard look at the type of work that we're doing and to better understand where we can do more at Nielsen, where we can contribute more. We've been reporting on diverse audiences for a very long time and consumption of content by different minority groups and other groups. And we decided that while we could marry that data, the data that we have on audience consumption and on content, alongside with data that we carry internally, which is sort of a celebrity database, right? So who is behind, who's behind the camera, but of course, cast and talent in front of the camera, and marry that with the audience that is consuming the content to better understand what on-screen presentation looks like, on-screen representation looks like, but also who's consuming that content. Because if you think about it, a show can have a lot of diverse cast and even diverse storylines, but if it's not being consumed by the audience of that same group, how well does that say that the representation is of that particular group? So we decided to marry these two sets of data, not only understanding who's watching the content, but also who is within that content and get a better understanding of what we call share of screen.
So the report finds that about 26% of the top 300 programs included at least one cast member who identifies as LGBTQ. Maybe on the surface that seems like there's more diversity, but it's not really telling the whole story, is it?
It isn't. And in fact, you know, LGBTQ data in general, if you look just at that number, you'll say, well, the representation looks like it's on par, right? The percent based on the universe estimate of the percentage of the population and the percentage present. But as you start to break it down, and the way we pulled this data together, it allows us to look at where that representation takes place. So whether it's broadcast, cable or streaming content, and also by genre. And we end up finding that while there is good LGBTQ representation in certain genres, it's virtually, you know, this community is virtually non-present in other genres. Generally speaking, streaming had a lot more opportunity and increased representation for many diverse groups.
I'm always curious, Stacey, what's stopping broadcast, cable, streaming from being able to accomplish these things? Because we tend to see that when you have more representation of diversity on screen, that the money will follow. And we tend to believe that a lot of these networks and streamers, you know, money is, at the end of the day, important to them. So what does seem to be the big roadblock for writers, producers, creators, showrunners, networks to actually embrace the idea of truly, really being authentically diverse with their casting, their writing, and everything that goes into making a TV show?
Well, we certainly hope that the data that we've produced will help underscore the importance. We all know, as you said, that diversity has been largely lacking in Hollywood. It's been well documented, both in front of and behind the camera, below the line. Yet at the same time, we know that when there's diverse content and diverse writers and diverse people behind content that's being developed, that it does better. So your question is perfect, right? What is the intersection? And we believe that the more data we can put behind this and illustrate that there is, in fact, a tremendous upside, that audiences are consuming this content, that there's a direct correlation between diverse content and an increase in ratings, that type of data will help encourage and drive the industry to this much needed change.
Stacey, for you, what are some of the real positives that have come out of this? Some of the numbers that maybe shocked you and said, oh, okay, maybe we are making some progress in this area.
That's a great question, because there were
it's
some,
a tough one.
It's a tough one. There were some really good stories that came out of the data, but there were also some discouraging stories. When you look overall, for example, that the Black community had good representation, right? Black actors, good representation overall. But when you start breaking it down, you see the Black women are almost non-present in certain genres, including in news. And if you think about the role this content has in shaping, as I said earlier, young minds, who we have the permission to become. Do we have, you know, permission to fall in love, to have a successful career? Those sorts of stories come out of what we see on television. So there were, you know, really some great stories, but the more you break it down, the ability to look at this data, not only intersectionally, but by broadcast, cable, streaming, and by genre, really allowed us to find a lot of spots for opportunity and growth.
It's true that there are these instances where you'll kind of get your heartstrings tugged at, and you'll say, wow, we're really making progress in the idea of getting more queer characters on TV, more Black and Latino representation in these characters on TV. You know, I found this story about an actor, Daniel Kyrie. He plays a gay Black firefighter on the show Chicago Fire. It's one of the most watched shows on TV right now. He's gotten incredible feedback about playing this role and representing in this particular field, this profession as well. But, you know, how far can a story like that really go? I mean, does one actor kind of breaking through and making an impact, does that help lift up some of the other places where it's lacking? Or is this one of the situations where we really need it to be across the board and we need it to be consistent in big ways and small?
Well, we absolutely need it to be consistent. But, you know, you bring up a good point, because oftentimes there are breakout shows that have remarkable characters that are dimensioned and, you know, representing multiple intersectional groups. I can think of, you know, Hentified and the cast there, and certainly the character you mentioned as well. But what ends up sometimes happening is all of the weight of representation of communities, you know, end up sort of sitting on the shoulders of a few shows, because there's not more diversification and they have the responsibility to get it right and get everything about it right. I'm hopeful that as we continue to move down this journey with Hollywood and provide more data, that the, you know, when we talk about representation, about the quality of that representation, which we opened this segment talking about, will really become one of the things that's most important. If I can add, within our report, we did take a look at what we call video descriptors, but essentially they're themes, Ryan, that run alongside content so that we can understand when there is a high presence of a specific identity group, for example, LGBTQ, what types of themes is that high presence associated with? And that's really important because it helps us understand the context in which the character is presented, whether or not it's a stereotypical context, and how perhaps there's opportunity for growth there.
Stacey, in all of this research, were you able to locate where the power of decision-making is held and who really has the most control in helping decide the type of characters and the storylines that get told on our streaming programs or cable broadcast TV?
Well, that's not something we looked at directly, but what I will tell you is it's very clear that Hollywood's diversity issue seems to start in the writer's room. And there has been a pattern of, excluding women and people of color in hiring showrunners and writers. And what you end up is with content that either represents people with stereotypes and really relies sort of on stereotype to drive diverse character portrayals, or you end up with no one present at all. So it does seem to me like many of these, some of the casting irregularities and some of the storylines that we see unfolding can be improved and more representative of what the community looks like by starting of course, from the top, Ryan, but really even in the writer's room, hiring diverse below the line and behind the camera talent will have an incredible impact on the diversity we end up seeing on screen.
It's something that seems really simple to do, but has continued to be an issue for TV shows and movies to make those hires needed in the writer's room to get more diversity and therefore more authentically represented characters. Stacey, this report came out at the end of 2020, I believe, and you've really done a great job of running us through it. I'll just end it here. What are you looking forward to? What are the trends that you're going to be watching now that Nielsen has released this report? And I'm sure we'll continue to monitor the growth of this data.
So there are a lot of really exciting things we're looking at for our next version of the report, which we'll be pulling together and releasing just in a couple of weeks here. But I think for the year, what we expect to see is the diversification of content continue once production really gets back up to speed. Obviously, with the halting of production in so many cities, it has been had a dramatic impact on producers, writers, studios, their ability to continue to diversify their storylines and their cast. I know there is a lot in the pipeline. I know that there is genuine I wouldn't even call it interest. I would say really genuine force to move forward and diversify the content that is going to be available. But I think one of the hanging chads, if you will, is really the ability for production to get back to full speed. And I should mention, it's not just not just television programs and movies, but also advertisers. They are increasingly wanting to and beginning to diversify their ads, and that information as well really will come, and those storylines, even in super short form, will come to the American people once production can really gear back up. So we're looking forward to that. We're also looking forward to expanding what we've researched in our first report. As I mentioned before, we looked at on-screen representation of talent. The next level is we really want to take a closer look at behind the screen and below the line talent to be able to build a correlation, Ryan, between just how diverse the storyline builders are and the content that's produced.
That's Stacey DeArmas. She is Nielsen's Senior Vice President for Diverse Consumer Insight. She stopped by Culture Shift to talk about Nielsen's inaugural report, Being Seen on Screen, Diverse Representation and Inclusion on TV, taking a look at who's on our TV screens and the representation of diversity there. Like a lot of actors, writers will tell you, there has been great progress, but sounds like there's still quite a ways to go. Stacey, thank you so much for joining us on Culture Shift.
Thanks so much, Ryan.